Hi, I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic and full-time fan of Iowa's breaded pork tenderloin sandwiches.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio.
And welcome to Movies 101, the show that encounters difficulty only when the movie schedule doesn't produce anything we want to review, much less see. That's why we're thankful that our local independent movie art house, the Magic Lantern Theater, typically comes to our rescue. This week, we saw a pair of films that feature characters facing hard situations. In I Swear, Robert Aramayo plays a real-life man whose life was marked by his struggle with Tourette's syndrome. In Mother Mary, Anne Hathaway plays a woman trying to resurrect her pop singer career by asking for help from a one-time friend. Let's begin with a story that, as they say, is based on real events. You may be familiar with the name John Davidson, and no, I'm not referring to the American singer and game show host. The John Davidson I mean is a Scottish man whose life story was adapted by the UK writer-director Kirk Jones. What makes the Scottish Davidson special is that at the age most boys are entering their awkward teen years, he developed a neurological system disorder known as Tourette's syndrome. This disorder, which is largely misunderstood, is characterized by facial and body tics and sudden and often profane verbal remarks, all of which are involuntary. In Davidson's case, they exacerbated the relations between his parents and caused him to get repeatedly in trouble with school officials, with neighbors and bystanders, and even the police. Robert Aramayo won a BAFTA Best Actor Award for portraying Davidson, but Scott Ellis Watson is equally good as his younger self. Maxine Peake is fine as the woman who understands Davidson and gives him the support he craves. Kirk's screenplay may at times dip a bit too much into sentimentality, but that can be excused given his film's overall message regarding the need for understanding and compassion for those like Davidson who need it more than most.
I must acknowledge up front that I was a little apprehensive about seeing this film because we had seen the trailers multiple times, and I just did not know how this subject matter and our protagonist in I Swear would be presented. But this film, which is not a remake, but it's based in part on a 1989 documentary about John Davidson, which was filmed when he was 16 years old, works largely because of the acting talent of the two protagonists, the young John Davidson and the more adult John Davidson. Dan, you said something in your overview about how Tourette's syndrome is presented or manifested. And I think that, John Davidson has one form of this neurological disorder because I think maybe less than 1% of people who are diagnosed ultimately with Tourette's have this sort of verbal outburst that, we commonly might associate with only one form of the disorder. So there was much to like about this film. I appreciated its setting. You can see how this, played out in the Scottish Highlands, this little town, and sort of how John Davidson was bullied. His onset happened a little bit later than some, or at least according to the way the movie portrays it. And so he, as you noted, was at a vulnerable age anyway. I struggled a little bit with the portrayal of his mom because Shirley Henderson didn't have a whole lot to do, and she comes off as sort of this one-note person, whereas you could see that she was trying to protect the younger children and trying to salvage her marriage, which was sort of falling apart with the parents trying to deal with his, with John's situation. But there were some very heroic characters in here. Hard to say how much they were exaggerated, but I don't know. I mean, in the end, this film did work for me unexpectedly because I was, as I said, a little wary of even going into it to begin with.
Yeah, I'll admit that I'm a bit allergic to movies like this because they feel almost calibrated to elicit audience responses. Like this movie, I Swear, doesn't really feel lifelike. It feels calculated in that way where you can almost see the mathematical equations behind every line of dialogue and every decision that the screenplay makes. It's one of those crowd pleasers from the UK in the same mold as, you know, the Full Monty and Billy Elliot and Philomena even, that are like just a centimeter shy of being a full on sitcom.
Top, right.
Yeah, right. And this movie is awfully cuddly and cutesy. And even when bad things happen to John Davidson, and some very bad things happen to him, I feel like the movie does soft pedal it and moves on pretty quickly to the next thing. It doesn't really deal with the actual repercussions of living in a small town with this condition. And the town itself never really feels like a real place. But, you know, that's the kind of movie this is. And I do think its heart is in the right place. And I agree, it is ultimately pretty charming. It almost wins you over by force. And a lot of that has to do with the central performance by Robert Aramaya, which is really remarkable. As you mentioned, he won the BAFTA, which was something of a surprise because he was up against all of these huge A-list stars.
Yeah.
He was not nominated for an Oscar. But it's this purely physical performance, but it never feels like he's belittling the condition, mm-hmm. even though I think sometimes the screenplay is using it for very cheap jokes. And I also really liked Maxine Peake as his friend's mother because she's the first person who embraces him for his condition, not in spite of it, which I think is a very important distinction. And she's frank, but she's also understanding. And, you know, she tells him at some point, you shouldn't apologize for things that you can't control. And that's the thing that he really needs to hear in that moment. I agree with you about his relationship with his parents, especially with the father who
disappears.
Yeah, he disappears near the beginning of the movie, supposedly because of the onset of his disorder. And I was sort of confused by that. I don't think the movie handled all of that too well. But yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a movie that it feels kind of hard to hate, even though I had problems with it. I could see it working overtime to build up a charm offense against me. But I think a lot of it has to do with RMI's performance. I was not familiar with his work, and it's a pretty staggering bit of acting.
But we have seen him before. Remember, we watched the movie Palestine 36, and he plays a character completely different, an evil British soldier who is just a terrible person.
Well,
and
I haven't seen that, so it was
unrecognizable.
But he's had small parts in, I think, Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
So he's been around, but this is the first time he's anchored a movie, and he does a really good job.
The other thing that I appreciated about I Swear is the fact that it shows how John Davidson is trying to ultimately, with the support of his friend's mom, who is a mental health nurse herself, tries to educate people about the particular disorder that he has. And I thought, you know, there was a moment in the film where people who were similarly situated come together, and that could have been way over the top. And I thought it walked that line.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was pretty over the top. Because, I mean, it's like you mentioned that, you know, the type of Tourette's that John Davidson actually has, it is not the type that a lot of people have, but everyone in this that comes together in this town seems to have the exact same condition that he has.
Yeah, funny how that worked. Yeah. They weren't necessarily from the same town, Nathan.
Okay,
but
sure. Sorry, I'm nitpicking here, but what else is new?
And that's why we're here, to talk about things that worked and didn't work for us. But think about this, and this kept running through my mind. I mean, in I Swear, these people were trying to connect, or people were isolated at home before there were Facebook groups for all types of, you know, situations and circumstances. And so I thought that was a good reminder for us that, you know, sometimes we criticize social media, justifiably so, but there are also, for these circumstances that are very shaming and isolating, I think that this underscored the importance of support.
Yeah. I think it comes back to what do we like about the film, and that is the two lead performances. Because you talked about Aramayo, I talked about Aramayo. He's terrific. But so is the kid, the Ellis Watson, who plays the young one. We've seen performances like Sean Penn and Kevin Bacon in which they're terrible performances because they exaggerate the wrong things. But these two people, Ellis Watson and Robert Aramayo, they hit it perfectly. And it's the heart of the film.
Yeah, and I'll say that Kirk Jones, the writer-director, he does tend to make very, I think, bland, middle-of-the-road movies. I mean, before this, he made My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2 and What to Expect
yes.
When You're Expecting.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But this one, I swear, it's closest in spirit and tone to his debut film, Waking Ned Devine,
yes.
which is
yes.
a wonderful movie if you haven't seen it. And that didn't have any hard edges either. I think it has more surprises than this one, but it's certainly in the same mold.
Maybe this is his genre.
Maybe.
Yeah. That was our discussion of I Swear. This is Movies 101, and it's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcasts of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to talk about the movie Mother Mary. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
No matter what you're in the mood for, NPR's got you covered. You can go back in time with Throughline.
The Crusader Army encircled the city and its high walls.
Debrief with Pop Culture Happy Hour.
It was hard for me to take too seriously.
And, of course, stay up to date on the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Janine Herbst.
So celebrate Public Media Giving Days by giving to this station.
You can give now at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thank you.
And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed the based-on-real-events film I Swear. Let's now turn to something that, while fiction, is every bit a story of a character facing difficulty. Of course, it's hard to say just exactly what is the difficulty facing Mother Mary, the pop singer-slash-performer played by Anne Hathaway in writer-director David Lowery's film Mother Mary. In fact, it's hard to figure out anything about the film, which explores a confrontation between the troubled singer and the costume-slash-fashion designer Sam Anselm, played by the British actress Michaela Cole. Is this a story of two women working out a once turbulent relationship? Is it a study of the emotional breakdown of a Taylor Swift/Madonna type performer? Is it a ghost story? Or is it a melding of all this and more, presented in a way that smacks of surrealistic imagings? Despite the striking performances by the two talented stars, who knew the Oscar-winning Hathaway could actually dance, much of Lowry's film feels like little more than a muddled mess.
You know, just a few weeks ago, we talked about Julia Ducournau's film Alpha, which explored the AIDS epidemic through a really heavily allegorical conceit, and it was overloaded with metaphors, which some people criticized, but they worked for me, as we discussed, because I felt like they built on top of one another and slowly revealed the meaning of the story. This movie, Mother Mary, is also choked with metaphor. In fact, the dialogue even comments on it. But I don't think there's much behind them, and I think the characters ultimately get lost in those metaphors. And Mother Mary really reminded me of the work of a British writer-director named Peter Strickland, who has made a bunch of strange, heady genre movies like Barbarian Sound Studio and The Duke of Burgundy. But I was thinking a lot about his 2018 film In Fabric, which is about a red dress that keeps getting handed from one person to another, and it seems to be cursed.
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants?
The Sisterhood of the Traveling Haunted Dress. But it affects the lives of whoever owns and wears it. And there's a floating piece of red fabric mm-hmm. in Mother Mary that looks an awful lot like the imagery from that earlier film. But In Fabric had this weird, quirky, droll sense of humor, and I think Mother Mary loses its sense of wit as it goes on. And I think it starts really strong. The relationship between Hathaway and Cole, who we just reviewed last week
yes,
in Steven Soderbergh's film,
The Christophers. Yeah.
The relationship is shrouded in mystery. We're wondering, what is their history? What is the source of their conflict? Why are they so touchy around each other and walking on eggshells? And we do eventually learn some of the answers to those questions, but I don't think they're nearly as interesting or deep as the theories we start developing in our own minds. And in the last 40 minutes or so of Mother Mary, I found to be so ponderous and so straight-faced, despite being absurd that it lost me. I almost wish this movie, I mean, it's about a pop singer who has kind of a Lady Gaga thing going on. I wish this movie almost had more camp in it. It's almost like it's taking itself too seriously, despite being ultimately, I think, not about all that much. And I've loved some of David Lowery's early stuff, but this just didn't click with me at all.
And there is the mystery of the course of dealing or relationship between these two women. And he plays very coy with that in Mother Mary. I think Manola Dargis, in her review in the New York Times, said something about they were former intimates. And so that's also unknown. You know, were they in a personal, intimate relationship? Were they friends? Were they just co-workers? I mean, and we never find out really the complete answer to that.
He's keeping it deliberately vague.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But, you know, enough. There were enough vague things happening. I actually was with this up until the FKA Twigs scene. And that's when it jumped the shark. Mother Mary jumped the shark for me at that point.
Because Do you want to explain what that scene is?
Well, it's a seance. It was just...
They bust out the Ouija board.
Yeah. And so Mother Mary, Anne Hathaway's character, is there with a group of friends and they are trying to contact someone unknown. So is this, is it going to be her inner self? Is it going to be her past? Is it going to be a third party or, you know, something? That's when it should have been campy and it was trying to be serious, because that was bizarro.
And FKA Twigs, who, if you don't know, is...
I didn't know.
Really cool musician. She's been in a couple of movies.
Except for the Elon Musk part.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's got an amazing face. Like, she just has
unusual
a presence.
Face, yes.
Yes, yes. She's a very striking person and I like some of her music, but I don't think she's much of an actress, because that role really requires whoever's playing it to pull off what is essentially a possession, and I don't think she does.
I'm really glad you brought up the notion of somebody having a notable face, because that's what Michaela Cole has.
Yeah.
She's a talented actress. I'm not taking anything away from her, but she... the camera goes on her face and I'm immediately entranced.
Yeah.
I go... I think I said this when we were talking about the Christophers. She reminds me of a 3,000-year-old Egyptian queen. Just so striking. But Anne Hathaway also is striking. And she's got the biggest, brownest, blackest eyes of any movie star. Well,
Mary Pat showing off her eyes.
Exactly. You know.
Well, and Michaela Cole also is one of those performers. I mean, she hasn't been in all that much. I mean, she's an Emmy-winning writer as well as being an actor. And she just has this sense about her that she knows a lot more than she's letting
she's
us
enigmatic.
In on. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think she's just right for this part, because, you know, as we've been talking about, we are sort of wondering, who is this person? How exactly is she related to Mother Mary? And again, like I said, we do find out, but it feels like kind of a letdown when we find out.
And
we have to
point out, she's the narrator of the film. It begins with her and ends with her.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, as we've seen, these attempts to recreate these Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, big productions, you know, oftentimes fall flat. I mean, we talked a little bit about M. Night Shyamalan and his...
Trap.
Yes. And with Josh Hartnett and his own daughter as this pop star.
Lady Raven.
Yes.
Let's not forget Lady Raven.
And it just didn't work. I mean, the music wasn't that good.
Yeah.
The costumes, I mean, that Halo thing got old fast.
Well, and the songs in this movie, Mother Mary, are by Jack Antonoff and Charlie XCX, who are huge. FKA Twigs, I think, also contributed some music. And I agree. I don't know if the movie wants us to think that the songs are good necessarily, but they didn't feel like songs that would be ginormous arena filling
exactly
hits.
That's how I felt. That was my problem, because I mean even though they talked about smaller venues, it looked like she was at Wembley or something.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, there was thousands of people there.
I do have to say that there's a moment near the beginning of Mother Mary that's probably my favorite scene in the movie, and it's when these two characters have met for the first time in a decade. And part of the plot here is that Mother Mary wants her former costumer to make her a piece that is basically going to not only wow the crowd, but sum up
her comeback,
her entire career, because she's going off in a different direction. And that's kind of where things start. And there's a moment where the Michaela Cole character tells Anne Hathaway, "Can you show me what the choreography is going to be for your new song?" And Anne Hathaway says, "Yeah, can I plug my phone in and play you the demo?" And she says, "No, I want to see it without music." And Anne Hathaway performs. It feels like it goes on for a really long time.
Yeah.
This very intense dance
wow.
sequence in silence. Mm-hmm. And it goes from pretty standard pop choreography to something that does look like a full-on possession.
Yeah.
And that moment is so arresting and
yep.
so unusual and so memorable that I thought, okay, this movie's got something.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't think it ever tops that moment.
I agree. And Anne Hathaway has been the source of controversy for reasons that I'm not sure I fully understand.
People just don't like her.
Yeah. And, you know, we're looking forward. I am looking forward to seeing her again in The Devil Wears Prada 2.
Okay.
Just saying. But you know, I think in Les Mis, I mean, she is talented, but
oh, yeah.
I didn't know that she could dance. I mean, Dan and I were talking about that.
Yeah, I was wondering whether it was a body double at some point.
It could have been. I don't know. But if it was,
I don't
it was pretty
so,
seamless.
No.
It was
right.
seamless.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so the Mother Mary part, you know, just, I mean, so it has all this religious imagery. It has some like sexual imagery. I thought the sequences that take place in that barn setting were compelling.
Yeah.
And various points, I thought, well, this could actually be a stage play,
yes.
the way that it was
yep.
presented.
Yep.
Like
then,
the Christophers, too.
Yeah, yep. But then, as we said, there's a point at which, nope.
Then the ghosts
cannot
show
go
up.
There with you because you, I don't know.
And speaking of ghosts, I mean, David Lowery made one of my favorite movies of recent years, A Ghost Story.
Oh, right.
Which you want to talk about allegories.
Mm-hmm.
That movie hit me so hard and moved me so much. And I don't think anything he's made since. I know something like The Green Knight has its fans.
That was the one with Casey Affleck, correct?
Casey Affleck under a sheet with eye holes.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
And I just don't think anything he's done since has hit me quite like that. So I think he has an amazing eye and a really great sense of creating feeling through imagery.
But you'd never know it from this movie.
Yeah, it's kind of all imagery, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah. At any rate, that was our discussion of the film Mother Mary, and this is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster, and earlier in the show, Nathan Weinbender, Murray Pat Truthart, and I discussed the film I Swear. Let's take this moment to thank Aaron Brad for directing the show, and we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, and we'll again check out all the best that cinema has to offer wherever we can find it. Till then, consider these words from the British author Matt Caine. Bad stuff happens, but it's not the bad stuff that's important. What's important is how you deal with it. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.